We're going to learn 13 psukim in Parshat Chukat. We're really going to deal with one or two of the psukim here, but this is one of the extremely difficult parshiot in Torah. And we're going to attempt to understand it to the very best of our ability. Let me read the psukim. First, let's get the text. Now, I'll tell you, there's something very fascinating even before we begin the text. Pasuk begins with Vayovo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'eda, the children of Israel, the entire congregation came to Midbar Tzin, to the desert of Tzin, b'chodesh harishon, in the first month. This is the month of Nisan. Vayeshev ha'om b'kodesh, and the people set up camp in Kodesh, v'tomot sham Miriam, v'tikoveh sham Miriam, died there and was buried there. When I say that there's something fascinating about the pasuk even before it begins, or better said, between the pasuk before and the beginning of this pasuk, something very, very fascinating takes place. So you're wondering, what am I talking about? There's nothing between the pasuk before and the beginning of this pasuk. But there is. In Yiddish they would say, wie ein Augenblick, like the... an eye, just the wink, the blink of an eye. 38 years have passed. This is the first month, the month of Nisan, in the 40th year. Nothing has been said. 38 years passed between the pasuk before and the beginning of this pasuk. They finally have made it to Midbar Tzin. It's the month of Nisan. 40th year in the desert. This is the year that Miriam and then Aaron and ultimately Moshe will die. So here they all came to Midbar Tzin. There was no water for the congregation. And they gathered against Moshe and Aaron. And the people contended with Moshe. And they said, if only we would have expired, we would have died when our brothers died before God. Those that died during the course of the previous 38 years, Rashi points out when it says, Kol Ha'edah, the entire community came to Midbar Tzin, it means because all who came were now destined to enter Eretz Yisrael. This is the entire Edah. All of those who upon whom there was the decree that they should die in the desert already have. And here is an entire community, the community that's going to enter Eretz Yisrael. And take a look here, they say, oh, if only we would have died the way they did. Because to die from thirst is worse, is much worse. The Lu Gavanu Bikvar Chenu Lefnei Hashem. The Loma Haveitim at Kahal Hashem Al Midbar, I said, why did you bring this community into this desert? Lamut Sham Amachnu Ubiyireinu, so that we should die there, we and our livestock. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It's not a place where you can plant to the gefen, the rimon, nor figs, nor grapes, nor pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. I will only comment that it's extremely troubling to me. I don't really have an approach yet. Extremely troubling to me. 40 years later, what do they want? 40 years have passed, and this is a generation, a community already, a people. 40 years since they came out of Mitzrayim, the ones who are speaking now are ones who were young during those years, and they look back with this nostalgia to Mitzrayim. It staggers the imagination. It's so difficult. But 40 years later, and they haven't made peace with a new reality. I mean, are they serious that they really want to go back to Mitzrayim? Most probably the last time that anybody had a pomegranate was 40 years ago. I mean, you don't know what a pomegranate is. And what do they expect? Yeah, it works. Yeah, but this is, this is it, like 40 years later, and still, like, this whole adventure that Moshe took us on, with all the nisim, day in and day out, they don't see it. It's just difficult. I don't have an approach yet. But that's not the topic of our shir. And Moshe and Aaron came before the congregation to the opening of the tent of the meeting. They fell upon their faces, and the honor of God appeared to them. Moshe and Aaron don't know what to do. Moshe and Aaron don't know what to do. They're beside themselves. They're absolutely beside themselves. Here it is, the end of the 40 years in the Midbar. No water for the community, and they're complaining. God spoke to Moshe so saying, take the staff. The Hakelet Ha'edon, gather together the community, Atova Aaron, Achicha, you and your brother Aaron, Vidibartum Alasel, and speak to the rock, La'ineim in their presence, and Atan Meimav, and it will give its waters. You should bring out for them water from the rock, Vihishkita, Ha'eda, Vedbiram, and you should give the community and their livestock to drink. Vayikach Moshe Ha'mate, Milifnei Hashem, Moshe took the mate from before God, the staff. He hasn't had use for it now for 39 years. Didn't have anything, there was no need for the matah during all of these 39 years. Now he takes the matah, most probably it had been placed in the Mishkan before God. So he took the matah, kasher tzivar, as God commanded him. Ayakilu Moshe v'Aaron hakol opnei ha'sela, and Moshe and Aaron gathered together the community before the rock. Ayom 11, he said to them, Shimu no hamorim, listen, you rebellious ones. I mean, ha'sela hazen otzilech ha'mayim, will we bring out water for you from this rock? Moshe lifted his hand, Vayachet ha'sela b'mateyu pa'amayim, and he hit the rock with his staff twice. Yetzu mayim rav, and a great deal of water came out. Vatesh ta'eda ubidon, the community and their livestock drank. Now come the two difficult psukim, and these are the psukim that we will deal with. Ayomer Hashem Moshe ve'Aaron. God said to Moshe and to Aaron, Yam lo hamanten bi, because you did not believe in me, lahagdisheni, to sanctify me, la'enei. B'nei Yisrael, the eyes of the children of Israel, lachem, therefore, lo taviu et hakohol hazeh, you will not bring this community, el ha'aretz hashen atati lahem, to the land that I have given to them. Here, this is the moment at which the decree is issued by God. Moshe and Aaron will not enter Eretz Yisrael. Because he didn't sanctify me, he didn't believe in me. Hema me mediva, these are the waters of contention. Asher rovu b'nei Yisrael at Hashem, children of Israel argued with God by Yikadesh Bam, and God became sanctified with them. This is the chet, the sin of the me mediva, and because of this sin, the divine decree, Moshe and Aharon will not enter Eretz Yisrael. There are a number of other places where this is mentioned in Chumash. Later on in this same chapter, Pasuk 24, Ye Aseif Aharon El Amav, yet let Aaron be gathered to his people, Ki Lo Yavo El Haaretz, because he will not come to the land Hashem Atati Levnei Yisrael that I've given to the children of Israel, Al Asher Meritem Et Pi, because you rebelled against my command, Lemei Meriva, by the waters of Meriva. So we find out that there's they didn't believe in God, they didn't sanctify him, they rebelled against him. At the very end of Parashat Hazinu in Sefer Devarim, it says that God spoke to Moshe on the last day of his life, so saying, Alei el har ha'avarim, go up to this mountain, Har Nevo Asher be'eretz Moav, the mountain of Nevo, which is in the land of Moav, Asher al-Pnei Yerecho, that is near Yericho, that faces Yericho, Re'eyet Eretz Canaan, you can see the land of Canaan, Asher ani noten levnei Yisrael achuzah, that I give the children of Israel as an inheritance. Umud bahar asher ata oleh shama, die upon this mountain that you go up there. Vehei yaseif al amecham, be gathered to your people, kasher meit Aaron afichah b'hor ha'hor, like your brother Aaron died in Hor ha'hor. Vehei yaseif al amecham, that he was gathered to his people. Al asher me'alten bi. Al asher me'alten bi. Here is a new term that is being used. Because you sinned against me, Me'ila is, you took something from me. Moel behegdish, somebody who uses that which is holy for his own purpose. You took something from me. The total B'nai Yisrael, amongst the children of Israel, B'mei merivat kadesh midbar tzin, by the waters of contention in Kadesh, which is in the desert of Tzin. Al asher lo kidashtem oti, you didn't sanctify me, the total B'nai Yisrael, amongst the children of Israel. Ki mineged tir'e et ha'aretz, You will be able to see the land from the other side, b'shama lo tavo, but you will not come there. You will not come el ha'aretz Hashem ani noten l'bnei Yisrael, to the land that I give to the children of Israel. All right, this is the parsha. We're going to see that just about all of the mefarshim have attempted to find what's the sin? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do that was so terrible? What did he do? It's not clearly said in the pasuk. Therefore, we're going to find the Abarbanel lists 12 or 13 sins. The Evan Ezra 4 or 5, the Or HaChaim lists 10. The Rambam is going to deal with 4 or 5. One of the Akronim said that he's afraid to learn this parasha, because as he gets caught up in studying the parasha, he may come up yet with a new chet that Moshe and Aaron committed, and that he doesn't want to do. So what we're going to do is we will take a sampling of a few of the commentaries on this sin of Mei Meriva. I'll begin with the obviously the Rashi. The Rashi is that which we begin with. Most probably everybody knows the Rashi. Rashi says, and the Ramban also brings the Rashi, and he begins by saying, "Hached de Moshe ba'Aron de Mei Meriva einon mitparsein ba'katov." The sin of Moshe and Aaron is not mentioned. Not mentioned. It's not clearly stated in the pasuk. And Rashi said, "Mipnei shetziva otam," he commanded them, "you should speak to the rock." Didn't say you should hit the rock. She'ilu dibru, would Moshe and Aaron have spoken to the rock? The Rebbeinu Shlom would have been sanctified in the eyes of the entire community. People would have said, they would have said, this rock doesn't hear and doesn't speak, fulfills the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We certainly should fulfill the words of God. This is the Rashi. He was told to speak to the rock. Wasn't told to hit the rock. Would he have spoken to the rock? The Kiddush Hashem would have been great. Take a look. An inanimate, dead object. The rock listens to the word of God. Certainly we should listen to the word of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So obviously, and this we will see in each one of the Mefarshim, each one of the Mefarshim zeroes in on a word or a phrase, and that becomes the substance of the pshat. Rashi obviously is saying, first of all, because it says kachat hamata, take the staff. It says v'dibarken el asel, I speak to the rock. And it says, because you didn't sanctify me. God would have been sanctified in the event that they would have spoken to the rock. The Rambam now comments and he says, this is divrei agada, these are the words of the Medrash, but I don't agree. He says, I don't agree. The Rambam asks a number of questions on Rashi and basically says, listen, if Moshe was commanded to take the stick, what was he commanded to take the stick for? Obviously he was commanded to take the stick in order to hit the rock. God tells him, kachot hamata. Isn't that the simple meaning of the pasuk? Would God have only wanted him to speak? So you don't need the stick. Just go. Go talk to the rock. And furthermore, he says, what do you mean? God is sanctified, or would have been sanctified more in the event that he would have spoken to the rock. The Rambam says, does it really make a difference to the rock whether you hit it with a stick or you talk to the rock? It makes a big difference to the rock. Are you going to tell me that the miracle is less of a miracle because he hit the rock and water came out, and it would have been a greater miracle if he would have spoken to the rock? Rocks don't give water because you hit them with a stick. They don't give water. So what difference did it make? Same miracle, same sanctification of God's name. Of course, the Mefarshim who come to the defense of Rashi say that sure, it makes no difference to the rock whether you hit it or you speak to the rock. But to the observer, people who are watching, there is something more impressive about rock. Give water.
The Rambam then brings the Rambam.
The Rambam's approach to this parasha appears in his introduction to Pirkei Avot. The Rambam has an introduction to Pirkei Avot, which is called the Shmona Pratim LaHarambam, the 8 chapters of the Rambam. Obviously, it's called the Shmona Pratim because the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avot has 8 chapters. So it's called the Shmona Pratim LaHarambam. In the middle of the Shmona Pratim LaHarambam, the Rambam enunciates what becomes for him an extremely important principle, and that is the idea that man should find, in terms of his character and personality, he should find the middle path, the golden mean. In every character and personality trait, there are the extremes. There are extremes. There's the person who is a spendthrift. Money just goes through his finger like water. Can't hold on to a penny. All sorts of knowledge stuff. That's bad. On the other hand, you have the person who is so miserly that can't even spend money on the necessity of life. Neither one of the extremes is good. A person has to find the middle path. The middle path is to be generous. To be generous. Then there's the person who has a temper. An angry person. That's an extreme, it's bad. On the other extreme, you have the phlegmatic kind of personality. Nothing moves him. Nothing. It's like talking to a rock. The man doesn't react. Person doesn't respond. There's something wrong there. Person has to be someplace in the middle. And the Rambam says that's called savralut. Savlamut is the word that he uses. Patience. You can't get angry, but you shouldn't be unfeeling. Totally insensitive. Nothing makes any difference to you. Says the Rambam. I'm going to read a little bit of the Rambam to you. He says, you know that the greatest of all, the greatest man of all, Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Hashalom, God says about him, Yan lo hemantem, but you didn't believe me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. You rebelled against me at the waters of Meribah. You didn't sanctify me amongst the children of Israel. The Cheto Olam Hashem says the Rambam, do you know what the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu was? Shenoto litzad echot min haktzavot. He moved off center, and he moved toward one of the extremes in personality. He started moving in the direction of one of the extremes in character and personality, and that is the midah of savlanut, patience. Patience is the middle path, but Moshe Rabbeinu moved from that when he began to move in the direction of ragzanut, anger, when he said, Shimu hamodim, listen, you rebellious ones. He should not have expressed himself this way. There was anger in the words Shimu no hamodim. And therefore, that was his sin. Did they go of Hashem Yitbarach? It may have been just slight. He didn't become angry, but he's moving in the wrong direction. God was judged him in a very special way. That a man like him should get angry in the presence of the community of Israel, when there is no reason for anger. A man of that sort, when he says something like that, that's chilul Hashem. That's a desecration of God's name. You didn't believe me to sanctify me. Why? So the Rambam explains, Moshe Rabbeinu was not speaking with people who are fools. Do you know who Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to? Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to people that the lowliest amongst them had seen visions that were not seen by Yechezkel ben Buzi. The famous Medrash that says that as Jews crossed the Red Sea, Rata Shifcha Arayam, a maidservant by the sea, saw more than Yechezkel ben Buzi. Yechezkel is the one who saw the Maaseh Merkava, the chariot the chariot of God. He saw the very throne of God. He's not talking to foolish people. He is talking to people who watch every move of his, because they know him to be the great Rebbe, the greatest who ever was and who ever will be. And everything that he does is something that they emulate. He's the great Rebbe. Don't we learn so many things from our Rebbeim? We learn so many things. You'll see Talmidim begin to take on all of the character and personality traits of a Rebbe. They begin, you know, they wear their jacket, their hat the same way, the beard is cut the same way, the payas look the same. We take on so much from our Rebbeim. We watch them carefully. She says, Klai Yisrael, watch them. Watch Moshe and Aaron very carefully. And therefore they learn from everything that Moshe and Aaron did. And here, if Moshe expresses himself in this way, they learned something from it. And they didn't learn the right thing. Whatever he said or he did, yivchanuhu. They watched it. And when they saw that he got angry, do you know what they said? Rebbe can't be wrong. If he got angry, it's because God is angry with us. And that wasn't so. God wasn't angry with the Jewish people. We find no indication that he was angry with them. Isn't there a responsibility upon the Rebbe Yisrael and Klal Yisrael? 3 million people need water. Of course he's going to give them water. I tell you, parenthetically, as I read the Rambam over here, what comes to mind is possibly an answer on the question that I asked earlier. How do they say, where did you take us out of Mitzrayim? Where did you take us out of Mitzrayim? And here the Rambam is describing these people as people who had reached the heights, visions they saw. They saw the heavenly throne. It may very well be, it occurs to me, it may very well be that yes, they were great. They were very great. And they may have had the same problem that Avraham Avinu had. We once explained, Avraham Avinu may not have understood, or it may have been very difficult for him to understand God, and despite that he listened. God tells him, leave Ur Kasdim and go to Eretz Yisrael, because that's where I am. That's the Holy Land. Avraham Avinu must have had a philosophical problem with this. What kind of a God did he discover? What kind of a God did he see? He saw the God that Melech Kol Haaretz Kavodo. He's all over. I can find God. I can seek him out and find him any place on the face of this earth. I found him in Ur Kasdim. There are Jews who saw him in Mitzrayim, and then there are Jews who saw him as they crossed the Yom Suf. They saw visions of the heavenly throne. So what do we need to go to some other land? We can find God any place on the face of this earth. Getting back to the Rambam. The Rambam therefore says, Shimuna Hamohim, they said, listen, you rebellious ones. Moshe shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said that. V'hinei yotzonu mikavonat hashav, the Rambam says, we have moved away from my intention in this chapter. This has been a deviation, a detour. Avol hitanu safek mistakei haTorah. We have answered one of the great doubts in Torah. The Rambam already says so much has been written about this. And it's been asked so often, what sin did he sin? And the Rambam ends by saying, don't take a look what others have said about it. And what we said about it. The truth will make its way. The Rambam, as I say, quotes the Rambam, and I will read the words of the Rambam in response to the Rambam. And you have to remember, the Rambam had the greatest of respect. He stood in awe and reverence before the Rambam, as we do 800 years later. If anything, the Rambam certainly was one of those who believed that Mimoshe va'ad Moshe lo kum kimoshe, as it is said about the Rambam. From Moshe Rabbeinu until Moshe ben Maimon, there arose none like Moshe. But here he says, Hosif hevel al havolim. The Rambam has said things that don't make sense at all.
Because the pasuk over here says, "Miritem pi," you rebelled against my mouth. Which means, "Sha'avru al devaro," it means that they transgressed. They went against God's command. He did something wrong. It doesn't say that he sort of was unable to control himself. And it says, because lo haminu bo, they didn't believe in God. Where is there a lack of faith on the part of Moshe and Aaron? Because they, because Moshe said, Shimu no hamorim. Furthermore, of course, he asks, who said Shimu no hamorim? Moshe said Shimu no hamorim. Why is Aaron included as a sinner as well? On the contrary, Aaron lo cast me off. Aaron never got angry. Aaron was the one who was the Ohev Shalom and Chodev Shalom. He was the one who received everybody to say the Taman Yafal. So if Moshe is going to be punished, assuming that he should not have expressed himself that way, why is Aaron to be punished? What did Aaron do that was wrong? Therefore, the Ramban, after he asks a number of other questions on the Ramban comes to his own shot. And the Ramban says the following. What seems to me closest to the truth of all of the things that were said, and he says, it's a good answer, lidchot hashoel, to push aside the person who asks. In other words, it's not the greatest answer in the world, but all right, it's an answer. It's an answer. And they are the words of Rabbeinu Hananel, one of the Rishonim, that wrote, ki hachet hu, the sin was because they said, Hamin hasela hazeh notzi lachem mayim, will we bring water out of the rock for you? Who's bringing water from the rock? Moshe and Aaron are bringing water from the rock. What Moshe and Aaron should have said is, Yotzi Hashem, God is going to bring water. Bezras Hashem, Bishyat Yishmael, the Rebbeishim at Helfen, God in Himmel is going to give you water. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Aaron expressed themselves by saying, Min hasela azen notzi lochem mayim, will we bring out water from this rock? The Roy Shuyongru, you know what they should have said? They should have said, Yotzi Hashem lochem, God is going to bring out water for you. Just as previously when they brought bread and they brought meat, it says, B'teit Hashem, when God will give. And here they said, Notzi lochem, we will bring out water. The Chayim, the Kohanim, all of the miracles that they did in the desert, Yodi'um, they let Jews know, Ki Hashem yaseh imahem lahafli, it is God who does these miraculous things for them. And you know, people might have made a mistake of thinking that Moshe and Aaron, with their wisdom, with their profundity, they were able to bring water out of the rock. And therefore God says, Lo dashtemoti, you didn't sanctify me. I could have been sanctified. I should have been made holy. They should have known that it's me. And you said, Hamin hasela hazeh notzi lachem ayin. All right, so we have now gone through the Rashi. Rashi says that the sin was that they hit the rock and they didn't speak to the rock. The Rambam, who says that there was a flaw in Moshe's personality at this particular moment in time. Something went slightly wrong with his character. The Rambam says they expressed themselves in an incorrect way. Hamin hasela hazeh notzi lachem ayim. Will we bring out water for you from this rock? I'm going to take two other pshatim that are very fascinating. One is the Rabbi Yosef Albo, the Baal Sefer Vayikrim. Baal Sefer Vayikrim has a completely different approach. One of the Rishonim. Sefer Vayikrim says the following. He enunciates the basic principles of the faith, and there is a fascinating principle. Very fascinating principle. We know, we believe in Hashgacha Pratis, that there's divine providence. God is the one who acts in history. God does for us. God knows. He knows what we do and what we think. He rewards. He punishes. Says Rabbi Yosef Albo there, under the category of God's knowledge or the way God acts in the world, God acts through the righteous, through the tzaddikim. And therefore, the tzaddik has a very unique power. Do you know what his power is? Tzaddik goes there, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. There are times at which the tzaddik will decree, and you know what? God is going to fulfill the word of the tzaddik. That's part of his divine providence. That's the way he acts in the world. Take a look. There's a struggle going on between Yahushua ben Nun, and the kings of Canaan. And it's getting late in the day. Yahushua says, Shemesh begivon dom v'yareach be'emek ayalon. Let the sun become silent over Givon and the moon over the valley of Ayalon. Givon is right about Telstone, and you keep going along the road, you're going to come to the turn off to Latrun that takes you into Emek Ayalon, Shalvim, and that area. So there, Shemesh, the sun stopped over Telstone, and the moon remained in place over Emek Ayalon. It was needed. Klal Yisrael had to continue the battle, finish the battle successfully, victoriously. Does Yahushua turn to God and say, Rabbeinu Shel Nebuch, what am I going to do? He decrees, and God fulfills. The Lo Haya Yom Kamo, there wasn't a day like this, the Shmoa Hashem, the Kol Ish, God listening to the voice of man. Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, Eliyahu says, God, bring down fire upon this altar. You go through Shas. You go through Shas. There were Tanoim and Amoraim that were able to do miracles. Did they turn to God and ask for? No, they knew the power of a tzaddik. The Gemara tells a story about a besmedrish. Near the besmedrish, there was a cave or a hole, and there was a snake, a poisonous snake over there. Along came Rav Chanina ben Dosa, and he put his foot over the hole where the snake was. The snake bit Rav Chanina ben Dosa, and the snake died. That's news. Dog bites man is not such great news. But when a snake bites Rav Chanina ben Dosa and dies, that's news. And the Gemara says that Rav Chanina ben Dosa told his Talmidim, from here we see Lo ha'arod meinit. It's not the poisonous snake that kills. El ha'chet meinit. It's sin that kills. Chanina ben Dosa, about him the Gemara says, Kol ha'olam nizon b'shvil Chanina b'ni. The entire world is sustained because of my son Chanina, God says. The Chanina b'ni and my son Chanina dailo b'kav charuvin me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. It's enough for him a bowl of baksa from one Friday to the next Friday. We have difficulty with it on Tu B'Shvat, and he lived with it from week to week. Tzaddik goes there, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. That's part of Hashgacha Pratis, of God's divine providence. 3 million people need water. You know what Moshe should do? He should say, Rak, give water, finished. What do you mean that Moshe runs to the tent, the Omoi, prostrates himself, he and Aaron fall down before God, there's nothing that you can do? What do you mean there's nothing you can do? Of course there's something you can do. You can bring down heaven and earth on that rock. And you can bring out the water from the rock. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef Albo, completely different approach. Moshe and Aaron should have acted unilaterally. That's what they should have done. They should have known the need of Klal Yisrael, and they should have known the power that Moshe and Aaron had. They should have known it. And not knowing it, this is a sin. Yan lo he mantan bi means, therefore, you didn't give them faith. They should have learned by watching you, they should have learned that God's divine providence acts through the tzaddik. You could have made them Believe even more in God. Not that Moshe and Aaron didn't believe, but lo he'emantem, you didn't make others believe. You could have sanctified me if they would have known. They would have known. Tzadik, goes there, by Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim. We need to be hit over the head with experience after experience. We never learn from once alone. We have to learn time and time again until the message finally gets across. Yes, we should be able to see God in history, in the events of all time, and certainly the events of our time. How many people are there that see it? How many people are there that see it? You know, one of my favorite. How many times have I said it? That you can see God in Machne Yehuda. I was learning with somebody, the Gemara, about the Kates HaMegula, the revealed end of days when Eretz Israel is going to begin to give out fruit in great abundance. And then says to me, really? Really? I mean, what? You mean there's a difference between now and when? When? I look at him, I didn't know what hit me. He seemed to be unaware of the fact that for 1800 years, Eretz Yisrael was desolate. And that only in this century did Eretz Yisrael begin to give out troubles to provide for a large population. Wasn't aware of it. Talmud Chacham wasn't aware of it. Really? I wasn't here 50 years ago, I didn't see. I mean, you didn't see. You're knocked over the head time and time again, and it's selfish. Selfish. So God has to knock even more. Kol dodi do fake. In our time, we hear the voice of our beloved God knocking upon our hearts incessantly. Take a look at what's going on before your very eyes. Take a look. People don't see. So people have to get another knock on the door of their hearts. Along comes Reb Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma wants to explain Reb Yosef Albo. Because there is a problem. Why indeed, up until now, doesn't Moshe act on his own? Where did Moshe act on his own? Moshe didn't act on his own when they needed water after they came into the desert. Moshe didn't act on his own when they needed man. Moshe didn't act on his own when they asked for meat. Can I give them? On the contrary, we find other Nevi'im, Elio and Elisha, bring the dead back to life. They act time and time again, unilaterally. They're turning to God for any kind of approval. And Moshe Rabbeinu, on the contrary, doesn't act on his own. Explains of Meir Simcha very beautifully. Moshe never wanted to act on his own. You know why? Because Moshe was frightened that they may ascribe divinity to him. Because of the greatness of Moshe, there was always the fear. Always the fear. Moshe was always concerned that they may ascribe to him something of the divine. Therefore, he was always careful. Wait, I'm going to speak to God. God will give you water. God will give you bread. So why does Rav Yosef Albo have a complaint to Moshe that over here he didn't act on his own? If Moshe was always concerned never to act on his own. So he says, you know why? Because there was one time that Moshe did act unilaterally. Once. Do you know when that was? Last week, Sedra. In Bria Yivra Hashem. He turns to God and he says, what are you talking about? God has to create something over here that the earth will open up its mouth and swallow them all up. Aaron acted on his own. He says, Moshe speaks to Klal Yisrael and he says, no, you're going to know that God is the one that sent me to do everything. Let me leave you. God is the one who did everything. I didn't do it on my own. In Kemot Kol Adam Yehudu Nelu, if these people are going to die the way all people die, and they will die in the normal way that people die, Lo Hashem Shalachani, God didn't send me. But in Bria Yivra Hashem, if God is going to make a special creation that the earth will open up its mouth and swallow them, then you'll know, God sent me. I didn't act on my own. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu acts unilaterally. In all of Torah, this is the one place. Why does he act unilaterally here? So the Meshech Chochma says, because this is the one place he was not concerned that they might ascribe divinity to him. What was the whole Korach rebellion? The whole Korach rebellion was, Moshe, you're not special. Kohei, the Kulam Kedoshim. Everybody's holy. You're nothing special. I mean, you took Malchus for yourself, and you made your brother the Kohen Gadol, and you made all of your nephews Kohanim. Here, there is an attack on the person of Moshe. So Moshe's just like everybody else. Moshe's just like everybody else. Then he's not concerned that he may be mistaken for some kind of a divinity. Therefore, says Reb Meir Simcha, now, if Moshe does not act on his own, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, here there would be Chilul Hashem. Because you know what Jews would say? When your covet was on the line, in Parshat Korach, then all of a sudden you went ahead and you acted. Now when 3 million people need water, why don't you act? Why don't you do something? Here is where Rabbi Yosef Albo says that Moshe Rabbeinu should have done something immediately. He should have been the tzaddik dozer, the tzaddik who decrees, and God would fulfill it. I'm going to take one more of the Mefarshim, and that is the Netziv. The Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin in the Perush HaMikdash, very beautiful. Very beautiful. Completely different approach. His approach is the following. God tells Moshe, take the matter, v'dibartem al ha-sela. V'dibartem al ha-sela, speak. El ha-sela? El ha-sela can mean speak to the rat, or speak in the presence of the rat. Speak in the presence of the rat. What does it mean, speak in the presence of the rat? So what we're going to see here is a thread in an entire perush of the Netziv in Sefer Bamidbar, beginning with Parshat Shlach. He explains in Parshat Shlach, why did Moshe send Meraglim? Why did Moshe send Meraglim? God said you're going to get the land. It's a good land. What do you send Meraglim for? So he says the reason why Moshe sent Meraglim is because something dramatic was to take place as Jews enter Eretz Yisrael. The 40 years in the Midbar, he describes as Hanhoga Nisid, Jews were living on miracles. It was not a natural existence. I mean, to have bread coming down in the morning and the Amud Anon and the Amud Eish, 3 million people living for 40 years in the desert, this is not natural existence at all. This is supernatural. This is not the way people are supposed to continue forever. Coming to Eretz Israel, the dramatic change is going to be from Han Hogan Nisid, God who is leading his people through miracles, to Han Hogan Tivit. They're going to become now a people who are going to live by nature. Plow, plant, build, harvest, gather in, do all of the things that normal people do, and see God within nature itself. Therefore he says, Moshe sent Meraglim, because if we are now to get ready to enter Eretz Yisrael, this was 38 years earlier, and they thought that they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So now we have to go about it, we have to prepare an army, we have to send Meraglim. Says the Netziv, and he bases it on the Medrash. The Medrash says the Medrash here says the following. V'dibartem, you should speak to the Sela. V'dibartem. Dvar halocha echad, o pedek echad. You should say a dvar halocha. You should say a word of halocha, or a perek echad of learning. But now, as I read the Medrash, there's something interesting that occurs to me. V'dibarta maybe from V'dibarta Bom, V'dibarta Bom, B'shiftecha B'beitecha V'lechtecha B'derech, study Torah. What does the Medrash mean? stand before the rack and study Torah. Says the Netziv very beautifully.
You know what's going to take place over here? A dramatic change is about to take place.
They had been traveling for 40 years in the desert. Water had been coming from the rock for all of those 40 years, and now all of a sudden it stops. Do you know what's supposed to take place now?
Says, you know what's to take place now? A dress rehearsal for Eretz Yisrael. Masech Tainis says, and we know it, before we get to Masech Tainis, what happens when there's no water? What happens in Eretz Yisrael?
If you're going to listen to God, I'm going to give you your rain in its proper time. What happens if you are not going to listen? God is going to close up the heavens. The heavens will stop giving rain. So what are you supposed to do when there's no rain? So the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us, rain is supposed to come down in Eretz on the 17th day of Kishon. If by Rosh Chodesh Kislev there is no rain already, tzaddikim have begun to fast. If time passes and there still is no rain, then Beis Din had to decree fast days. Between private fast days and public fast days, there were a total of 13 fasts in order that God should listen to the Jewish people and give them rain. And what did they do in every village, town, and hamlet in Eretz Yisrael? They would take the Sefer Torah, the Aron Kodesh, out to the center of the city. Everybody would gather together. The Rosh Ha'am, the one who leads the people, would speak before them, Divrei Kivushin, he would speak to them words of Musa. He would speak to them Torah. He would begin to tell them, Klal Yisrael Yidin to Tshuva. V'otzarat HaShemayim, if there's no rain, that's an indication that God is unhappy with us. And the Mishnah goes on to say that they would put ashes on the Aron, and they would put ashes on the head of each one of the people. It was a period of mourning. They would cry out to God to give them rain. Says the Netziv, what rain is in Eretz Yisrael, the rock was the 40 years in the Midbar. If there's water coming out of the rock, everything is fine. But what happens if Otsar et Hasela, if water stops coming out of the rock, then you know what you have to do? You have to gather Klal Yisrael together and pray. And in Shema Kolenu over there, we put in the tefillah of Geshem, you start praying for rain. Do you know what the Rebbeinu wanted of Moshe? Moshe, you're going to lead the people till the promised land and maybe into the promised land at this point. They have to be prepared now to go in. They're going to have to be ready to fight. They're going to be ready to march. They're going to have to learn all sorts of things. And you know what they have to learn? They're going to have to learn if there's no rain and there's no water, that they are supposed to turn heavenward. So therefore he says, you know what? Gather them all to the rock with the Barkim al-Asela. In the presence of the rock, start saying Musa. Learn Torah with them. Inspire Klal Yisrael to do tshuva, because this is what they're going to have to know once they go into Eretz Yisrael. This is the dress rehearsal. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do it. He should have prepared them. This is something that they need when they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. They have to know that when they pray, tfila mekubelet, their prayer is accepted by God. He listens to them. Why does he need the staff? Because even if prayer is not going to be accepted, the matah represents the power of God. Even if tefillah not, God ultimately in the final analysis is not going to forsake his people Israel. Even if mitzad hateva they will not get water, mikomakom lo yazov et Yisrael b'li mayim klal, he's not going to forsake Jewish people without water. And therefore, this is this is what he wanted, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected of him. I'm going to close with one more fascinating comment of the Meshech Chochma, not directly related to the question that we've been dealing with, the question of the sin of the Meimariva, but just where he reads a pasuk. First of all, if we have to sum up, so we've gone through the Rashi. Rashi is the one who says that the sin was that he hit the rock, and he should have spoken to the rock, the Dibartem El Hasela. The Rambam who says that Moshe Rabbeinu referred to the Jewish people as Shimon HaMorim, you rebellious ones, with anger. He should not have expressed anger. The Rambam in the name of Rabbeinu Chanan who says, because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hamin Hasel Azeh, from this water, from this rock, no Tzi Lachemayim, will we bring out water. They should have said Yotzi, Yotzi Lachemayim. We had Rabbi Yosef Albo, who said that the sin was that Moshe and Aaron turned to God to begin with. What they should have done was decree, they should have said it straight out, water, come out of the rock. Just as Yehoshua had said, Shemesh b'givon dom v'yareach b'emek hayalom. And the Nitzivim says, should have brought all of Klal Yisrael together, all of us together, we're all going to storm the very gates of heaven in prayer and tshuva, in order that you should give us water. The final comment is, the pasuk says, pasuk 11, perek pasuk 11. It says that when it came out, when the water came out, vayetzu mayim rabim, vateish ta'eda ubigidon. A lot of water came out, and the community and their livestock drank. What does it say at the beginning? At the beginning it says, speak to the rock, or speak at the rock, or speak in the presence of the rock. V'natan meinav, and it will give its water. It doesn't say that it's going to give a lot of water. V'hotzeit el ha'mayim and ha'selah, you bring water out for them from the rock, v'yishkita, and you will give to drink et ha'eda ve'ed b'inam, the community and their livestock. Says the Meshech Chochma, blessing, the blessing of God is always defined and described not by its quantity but by its quality. Pasuk says in Parshat Bechukotai, "Ba'achaltem lachmecha l'sofa," you're going to eat bread and be sated. And Rashi says that the bracha was, you'll eat a little bit. You're going to eat a little bit, not too much. You need a little bit, and that little bit is going to sustain you. The bracha of God is the power, not the quantity, the echut, the quality. Therefore, God says, "You'll do what I say." The natan meimav, it's going to give its water. Its water. You need a whole bottle of May Aden in order to quench your thirst. Nah. The bracha of God is water will come from the rock, it'll be enough for everybody. V'hishkita et ha'edah v'ed b'iram. The et ha'edah v'ed b'iram represents separate and distinct the Eidah, the community, v'ed b'iram and their livestock. When the water finally comes out, it says, Mayim Rabim came out. And then batesht ha'eda ubi'iram. Not et ha'eda ve'ed bi'iram. Because he says, since Moshe and Aaron did not do what was expected of them, then the blessing was not the unique divine blessing of a little bit of water that is going to refresh everybody. It was not the quality anymore, but it was the quantity. And the quantity didn't have the quality of the previous waters, and later they're going to complain they're going to need water again. And then the drinking becomes man and animal the same kind of drinking. Would they have done what the Rebbeinu wanted, then it would have been the rock would give its waters. Ha'edah, the community, they would drink, and Ed B'iran, the animals, separately. The bracha of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam does not come in big, big packages. Good things come in small packages. Divine things come in very small packages. Sometimes it may very well be, therefore, that one cannot clearly see the divine blessing. It's the quality. You have to be able to sense the quality of the bracha in order to know that it's the Birchat Hashem. It's a little country. It's a little country. It's a very little country. No place on the map even to put its name over there. Great things come in small packages. V'natan meinav, its waters, don't need mayim rabim.